how do I achieve this sort of level of perfection that they had? Like, their lettering is quality stuff because they put in the time and effort. And I knew that in order for me to reach that, I needed to put in the time and effort as well.
Welcome to the Passion Behind the Art Show. It's all about diving in with individuals to learn the story behind their passion. It's your host, Daryl Pinnock. All right, today on the show, I want to welcome Scott Biersack. I was pretty impressed with his workshop at Creative South, how he handled himself and just how he just interacted with the students. And I heard good things from Dan, so I was just like, I got to have this dude on the podcast. So welcome, Scott Biersack.
So thank you so much. Thanks so much for having me. It's good to be here. I'm excited to chat some more because we only had so much time during that workshop.
Right. So let's kick it off. How did this journey start? How did You Bring Fire start?
So I think it ultimately started in high school. I took a graphic design class my junior year, and my teacher, Kenna, was like, I think, the ultimate driving force for me to like continue pursuing it as like a professional career. Because I was originally taking art classes, you know, ever since I can remember, from elementary school up until I graduated, and I loved art, and I always thought that I'd become an artist until I took this graphic design class, and I realized that it was a way for me to take the background of art and mix it into design. So that ultimately led me, she went to ASU, and that sort of gave me this motivation to, okay, I'll check out ASU. If she went through the program, I should check it out too. She told me it was pretty intense and pretty rigorous, and some of the teachers were insane, but I was like, why not? I'll do it. So I continued to pursue it further within college. I guess I just never looked back. It just, something about taking her class sort of like clicked with me, and I've enjoyed every moment of it. So I don't regret making that decision at all, because I thought I would, because I was so into this art world. Gotcha. That I thought, is design really for me? But yeah, it's been pretty great so far.
Awesome. So why lettering? Why not print? Why not different? Cause, you know, there's so many different illustrations, because yeah, you're pretty skilled in probably all of them. So why lettering?
Within my design courses at ASU, everything's very structured around Swiss design. And for me, Swiss design is a load of rules and guidelines, and I am the type of person that tries to break the rules and guidelines. I hate abiding by that sort of stuff. It was very structured, and we were doing very conceptual things the first and second year within the program. We rarely touched a computer for a lot of the work that we did until junior year, which is when we actually began like typical design work that you'd see, you know, like business cards, ad campaigns, whatever the design materials might have been. But the first 2 years, it was all conceptual. So we were like doing things that are, in my opinion, not like a standard within design. Gotcha. You're trying to understand the concepts by creating, you know, whatever the term might have been. So like contrast, scale, depth, like understanding those terms in a visual sense and doing more physical things. So we created a lot of things with our hands, which is also really nice, because of course, understanding those things is necessary when it comes time to actually creating on the computer. So anyway, long story short, throughout the first 2 years, mm-hmm. we were introduced into typography, but it was more of a hands-on approach to typography. So like if we needed to kern something, we had to cut the individual letters out and then space them with our hands. Or if we had to create, we had to create H-E-A-O, just the letter forms H-E-A-O, and we had to paint them first, and they had to be precise as hell. Like, if you were a millimeter off, you had to repaint it. That's just how this program was. It was pretty intense, And I think from that process of just being pounded with all this stuff that I was like stressed out and I needed some sort of like outlet to do something else other than this standard Swiss design sort of practice that we were doing in school. And at the time I recently got an Instagram, like at the time, I think Instagram was probably 3 or 4 years old. And it was still relatively new.
Right.
A lot of my friends were on Instagram and I didn't think too much of it because of course, growing up, I didn't have a phone until I purchased one myself. Like I didn't have an iPhone. I didn't have all that, the fancy technology that a lot of my friends had. And I didn't get one until, like maybe my senior year of high school or something. It took a while.
It was probably about the same thing for me.
Yeah, it took some time. Like I had to work my ass off for that. You know, I was working at McDonald's at the time too. So, yeah, anyway, getting sidetracked here. So, so I was on Instagram and I came across Zachary Smith's lettering work and I was really, really impressed with his stuff. And I thought to myself, well, that's really cool. I want to do something like that. So yeah, I guess it all just kind of stemmed off from there. I saw his work and I tried my hand at it and I tried drawing letter forms. And of course it starts off really poorly. And then, you know, it takes time to progress those skills and, you know, get better at it. But I guess I just enjoyed the process because it also brought me back to my roots of art class where I'm illustrating something all the time. And lettering was more of that illustration route where I could get away from like this typical design and work with my hands again, I guess.
Cool.
Yeah, that's how it all started.
So I saw that you did type at Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my days when I was like trying to get into schools and stuff like that. I know Cooper Union was on my radar.
Yeah.
And that's even when I was pursuing architecture, because that's where I started this whole journey in architecture. Nice. And I noticed that. So I wanted to know, what was that like and how did you get involved in type at Cooper?
Mm-hmm. So I think it all started, of course, back to lettering as well. Lettering is like this gateway drug into the type design world. I was doing lettering at this point for, you know, maybe 3 or 4 years. And I constantly took workshops with Ken Barber, John Downer, all these people in New York City at the Cooper Union. So I got to see the school. I got to experience what it was like. Even though it was like the workshops were tend to be just like a weekend thing.
Right.
So like it was still nice to like see the space, see what it's all about. And I met Kara, who is running the program over there. So I don't know. I think it was just like taking the workshops allowed me to see everything. Meeting some of the teachers alone helped me understand, like, okay, this is somebody I'd like to learn from. And then I've always been interested in type design since my sophomore year when we were painting those ATAO letter forms. And I wanted to dive more into type design, but the program at ASU, we barely touched on it. Like, we drew our letter forms in Illustrator. It wasn't very like, I guess, type design-y. It was more just understanding like, oh yeah, the crossbar isn't optically center. You have to lower the crossbar a little, you know, just little technical things like that. And so I wanted to learn more of those technical things from the masters within the type world, as well as doing it within a program that you should be doing it in, like RoboFont or Glyphs, not Illustrator.
Gotcha.
Because those lend themselves to type design. So that sort of education wasn't here in Arizona. And I also just needed something different. I needed something new. I was doing the same thing day in and day out. And I just graduated school at the time. So I was like, well, if I'm, you know, I just finished school, this is probably the best time to continue that schooling. Cause I didn't want to like take a 3 or 4 year break of school. And then, you know, like in 3 or 4 years have this idea of like, well, I don't think I should go back to school anymore. So since I was already on that sort of momentum, I wanted to keep the momentum going by going to school at Cooper Union. My girlfriend also wanted to move out to New York City. So it kind of worked out. Like, she really wanted to, she's a designer as well. She wanted to experience the city, and I was like, well, if she wants to go, this is probably a good time to go. Might as well just do it now. So, So we made the move, and of course, you had to get accepted into the program. So I sent over a portfolio, got accepted, and that's what prompted everything else. You have to get accepted first. So I think there's about, I don't know, I want to say like 16 or 18 people got accepted the year I was in it, which is, I think, a pretty good number. I think that's probably around the max that they'll accept.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it was nothing short of amazing. It was a great experience. I loved every moment. I felt like I was just constantly excited to go to school, which is super weird for me because, I mean, at ASU, I was like, oh my God, I didn't want to go to school because I hated it so much. But looking back, of course, everything that we did was all worth it in the end,
right.
Because it was necessary for our growth and development. But anyway, yeah, Cooper Union was amazing. I highly recommend it to anybody. I did the extended program, so it was a year long, which is obviously a little, well, it's not as ideal for everybody, of course, because life is keeping you busy with other things. And but they do have a condensed program, which is a 5-week program over the summer. So if anybody wanted to still do this program without moving there for an entire year, you can do it in 5 weeks. I think it might be going on right now. I could be wrong. But I highly recommend doing the condensed program too. It's just obviously it's the entire extended program smashed into 5 weeks. So it's going to be pretty rigorous.
Nice.
I think it's like 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., which sounded insane for me after I just finished an insane amount of school. So I was like, I wanted to take it easy by doing the extended program.
Right. So is it a graduate program or how does it work? Or just can anyone just sign up?
They call it a postgraduate certificate program. So I assume you should probably have some sort of degree before you go, but I don't know. They could accept you even if you have no other schooling. Gotcha. I think because you're sending in a portfolio, and if your portfolio is worthy, I guess that's all that really matters. But it's not – so people always associate the Cooper Union – or the Type at Cooper program with the Cooper Union in terms of getting accepted.
Right.
And like payment for schooling, like, you know, the Cooper Union used to be, from my understanding, you used to have to apply and, you know, same process, you apply, you get in, but it's a much more intense application process because, of course, you're getting free schooling for X amount of years.
Right.
So you're going to school for free.
Right.
But the Type at Cooper program, while it is inside of the Cooper Union, it is in the building. But it's almost separate from that because I had to pay for school. Like it wasn't that sort of application process. Like you still had to apply and you're still running against other people, but it's not as intense, I would say.
Gotcha.
If that makes sense.
Gotcha. Cool. Yeah, because I used to live in New York. I just came to Georgia probably about 7 years ago. So I basically grew up in New York. That was my stomping ground.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah. So when this whole journey was going on, I know it wasn't always easy. What would you say was your biggest struggle through? Because you literally did conquer lettering. I know, you know, I mean, like, anyone knows your work. Like, you literally conquered lettering. And, you were crazy, man. Your stuff was insane. So
Thank you.
You know, people see your work, but they don't see, like, the processes. We may share our processes and design-wise, but, like, the process of when things are not going as you would like or whatever you say. Like, so what would you say was the greatest struggle you had to overcome?
I guess in terms of, my career or as a designer or as a lettering artist or whatever, I guess it would mostly be, I want to say, like, self-doubt. Like, am I good enough? Can I really pursue something like this? Because, of course, when I first got started, I was just drawing letters just to draw letters. And I feel like that's how a lot of people get started within lettering. They think it's cool. They look, you know, they see this piece of typography and they think, wow, that's, you know, let me experiment with that as well. And I've heard a lot of stories of people doing the exact same thing. And I think the self-doubt is really what pushes you because that's what you're trying to understand if it's worth it to invest your time into something like lettering, because with lettering and any craft, really, it takes a lot of time, practice, patience.
Right.
And Yeah, I guess I kind of just kept pushing through because I wanted to use, again, I used Instagram as sort of like this motivation and like a daily sort of progress tracker of the work that I was creating. So I tried to share my work on Instagram, and I think the Instagram following that started also gave me that sort of push to keep creating stuff. But I guess another struggle would have been, you know, just pushing through school, because my junior year is when it hit me really hard. I realized that, man, I really hate the design program, and, you know, it really wasn't for me. But at the same time, I learned a lot.
Right.
I just really dreaded going to school every single day, and I really considered dropping out. But then I thought, well, I've already invested, you know, at the time that I was considering dropping out, it was like 3.5 years. It was my junior year, in the middle of my junior year.
Right.
And my teachers knew it. My classmates knew it. Everybody knew it. I hated it. And, you know, I wasn't doing the work. I sometimes, of course, didn't show up to class. I was doing freelance work at the time too. So like, there are other things that were keeping me busy, and I just wasn't focused on school, which is stupid because I paid so much money to go to ASU.
Right.
It's a massive amount of money to attend that school. And you know, if you really want to go through a program like that, it should be worth it. So yeah, I guess the struggle is really like an internal struggle of, right. of is it worth it? Can I do this? That sort of mentality, and then trying to jump over that hurdle by, you know, getting inspired or motivated by something else in life. And I think everybody gets inspired and motivated by other things. Like, it's not the same thing for everybody, of course, because everybody's completely different. And for me, I don't know. I guess the inspiration and the motivation to keep me pushing was, you know, I guess I had people relying on me on Instagram because I gave myself this daily project to create something every day. And that almost pushed me because I didn't want to let anybody down. I'm the type of person, like, if I let somebody down, I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm the worst. And I didn't, there was a following of people that were all expecting a piece every day. And I was like, okay, well, I need to make sure that I get this piece out to them, because it was not only for them, but it was for me. Because I thought, you know, if I don't share this piece, I let myself down as well. So it was like, yeah, it was just like cyclical process.
Yeah, I get you, man. Year.
It was nuts, but I'm glad I pushed through.
So in this process, like, who were the people that you drew from? Because I know, like, for me, you know, there's always people that you say, okay, these are my top five. These are the people that I draw. They always got my back. They always, you know,
right.
give me support when I need it.
The people that believed in me. Well, my parents, of course, they're always like the ones that are like, you can do it, you know? And, yeah, my parents were always like super supportive. And I would definitely say Kenna, my mentor, my high school graphic design teacher, cause we've kept in touch. She's the one that got me, involved with Zion and Zion, the advertising agency that I worked at previously, before I moved to New York City.
Gotcha.
And, so we've always kept in touch, and she's been like my rock through it all, my guidance, my everything in terms of like this design world, because I didn't know how to navigate a lot of things, so I'd ask her. Of course, my girlfriend, she's always been really supportive as well. But in terms of like people that I look up to, in like within the lettering world, I was always, you know, following Ken Barber, of course, Eric Marinovich, Jessica Hish, like those top dogs.
Yeah.
When I first got started, those were the people that I was following. And I always saw the beautiful work that they were putting out. And I thought, okay, how do I achieve this sort of level of perfection that they had? Like, their lettering is quality stuff because they put in the time and effort. And I knew that in order for me to reach that, I needed to put in the time and effort as well. So I think that's also why I went about taking the workshops, and, you know, I saved up money to fly out to New York City, take a workshop, fly back, and the workshop is not cheap either. So,
right.
Yeah, it takes time and dedication, because you have to really want to do lettering. If you're doing lettering, you have to really want to do it in order to get better at it and to pursue it as a professional career. Because now there are a ton of people doing lettering, which is great, but that means you just have to work twice as hard to stand out from everybody else because yeah. all the work is looking very similar. But yeah, anyway, I'm getting off topic. But yeah, those are definitely the people that helped me strive to be better as a designer, as a lettering artist, as a human being, really.
Nice. So what's next for Scott?
So currently I am working with my friend Winston. He went through the Cooper program as well in San Francisco.
Yeah, I know Winston.
You took the workshop with Winston. That's right.
Yeah, I knew Winston before that because we are the Sean West community.
Oh, the Sean West community. Yeah.
Yeah. So I kind of knew Winston before that.
Right. Awesome. Yeah. So Winston and I are starting up a foundry, Continental Type Co. We are in this pursuit of being an independent foundry and selling our typefaces online through our foundry. We will hopefully be able to get clients from this as well, so we can, you know, create custom typefaces for clients. Maybe it's a custom lettering piece.
Gotcha.
So that is what I've been working on for the past, like, well, ultimately it's been in progress for like almost 2 years now. Yes. But I've been putting in a ton of time recently, like the past 2 or 3 months. I've been saying no to all my freelance work, all this client work, so that I can put all my time and effort into this typeface. And it's nearing the end, but there's still so much work left to do. So I still have a good, you know, month and a half amount of work left before we launch towards the end of August. That's the goal.
Right.
So it's been a lot of work, and we are designing the site currently. We have a friend Ben coding the site, so got to create the content. So like it's a massive amount of work, not only just the foundry site alone, but we have to finish our typefaces, and then there's like promotion and all this nonsense involved with running a business. So it's pretty intense right now.
Cool. So for those who don't know what a foundry is, you want to break it down? And
yeah, essentially, I mean, in terms of a type foundry, they sell you typefaces. That is the definition of a foundry. They'll sell you digital typefaces. If it was like a wood type foundry, they'd sell you wood type, physical wood type pieces. We will only be selling digital typefaces. We are solely going to be hosting our site online, and we might have physical products such as like limited edition posters, type specimens, that sort of thing. But yeah, we will be selling digital typefaces, and with the launch of our site, we'll have two typefaces, but they'll be pretty extensive typefaces.
Nice.
Yeah, rather large families. Mine is hopefully going to be 7 styles. So I'll have 3 Roman, 3 italic, and 1 text weight.
Nice. Man, design and type is...
I know.
It's intense, man. You would think that like lettering, the details is a big deal. Typefaces.
The
details.
Type design's on a whole nother level. And I thought, oh, this could be, I thought it would translate easier because of course I wasn't started in the lettering world. But I guess in a sense they do translate because you are drawing letters, but there's more of like a system and a structure. So it almost like ties back to this Swiss design mentality that I had at the start. Like there's strict guidelines and rules that you have to follow. And with type design, you do have to do those things to make everything cohesive and work together. So I guess it's nice that I have that sort of background because I can tap into that mentality and try to, because it's hard to, with lettering, you can be so free and you know, I guess everything has a little bit of personality, whereas with type design, it can still have personality, but it has to be very structured personality, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
Nice. We're almost at the end. So
okay.
What advice would you have for creatives? Someone sees You Bring Fire on Instagram and they say, man, this guy has so much followers and they don't really understand the amount of work you put in. Like, what advice would you have for creatives?
Right. Yeah. I mean, of course, I've had my Instagram now for maybe like 4 or 5 years. So it has taken me 4 or 5 years to get to the point where I'm at now. And I guess my advice would be to take time out of your day to just relax, you know, go hang out with your friends, see a movie, go to a museum, whatever that thing is, just take time away from your work so that you can rest, because rest is as important as your work. Balancing both of those things, it needs to be in everybody's life a healthy balance of work and rest, because I myself, especially within my college days, I reached the burnout stage where I wasn't eating very much. I wasn't sleeping very much. You know, I just hit like this period of terrible health. And now I have to like stay away from gluten and dairy. And it was really, really terrible time because I was working too hard. I was working too much. And, you know, at the time I didn't think anything of it. I thought, you know, if I get 5 hours of sleep, that's totally fine. But, and there's like this sort of hustle mentality out there, and it's fine. It's okay to hustle. Sure. I mean, I feel like I did too, but you have to relax as hard as you hustle.
Right.
So, you know, like it's a good thing to balance your life with other things other than work. Especially if you have, I don't have a family. So if I had a family, I would want to spend time with my family. You know, I'm talking about of course my parents, but I'm talking about if I had kids and a wife and all this stuff,
right.
I'd want to spend time with my kids. I was watching this, what was it called? Planet of the Apes recently.
Yes.
And this, did you see that?
I saw bits of the first episodes.
Yeah. So like the first episode was free. So I was like, sure, why not? I'll watch this. And this dude was talking about, you know, to some effect, he said something like, yeah, I work so much that I don't see my kids. And that's the price you have to pay. And I'm like, what the hell? You're like, man, you got to, like, your kids are kids right now. You want to spend time with your kids and experience their childhood. And I don't know. So that's just my thinking. My advice is to just take some time to take a break, because it's totally fine. Like I work from home. So I'll work, you know, maybe 3 or 4 hours. I'll take a little lunch break. I'll work another 2 or 3. And I sometimes start my day at, you know, 8 or 9, and I'll end my day at 4, just because, I mean, luckily I can.
Right.
But I end my day a little bit early so that I can just take some time to unwind, relax, you know, watch a movie, watch Netflix, whatever it might be, go for a bike ride. It's always good to balance those things, because at the end of the day, you don't want to burn yourself out and then risk not getting your work done on time, like if you have a deadline or, you know.
Right,
so, yeah.
Right. Basically, I think some of the anxiety is like, for example, you, for example, someone sees you and they're like, oh, I got to catch up to Scott. And
exactly.
This anxiety to just kill yourself to catch up to someone, and then at the end of the day, you literally may end up killing yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I'm not going to lie. Starting out, I had the exact same mentality. I was looking at Ken Barber, Jessica Hisch, and Eric Mernovich, and seeing their work, and I'm thinking, okay, I need to reach this point now.
Right.
But of course, you don't see all of the work that they put into it
before.
Instantly, you know, like if you scroll through their feed, maybe you can reach the bottom and see like the work that they did like however long ago, but they put in so many years of work too. And I guess thanks to social media, you don't see that right away. You're just thinking, oh, they make amazing work. I need to do the exact same thing. And yeah, that's how it all stems from, that because you're trying to reach that level in, you know, let's say 3 months versus what they did in like 5 or 7 years. So yeah, it's going to take time.
Yeah. And I'm that guy. I scroll to the bottom of everybody that I follow or I admire their work. I scroll to the absolutely first post and I look at the 15 and the 20 something likes. And I look at like that date they actually did that first post to kind of give me some perspective, like how long this takes
to
get to this point, which has helped me a lot. It has given me more of a long game mentality and not like a overnight thinking.
That's right.
Well, dude, I mean, thanks again for taking the time out. I really appreciate it. I can't wait to share this episode. Man, I plan to keep in touch, and I hope you do too. Whenever I'm in Arizona,
Nobody ever comes to Arizona. Nobody comes during the summer, of course, because it's like 106, 110 right now. I love it though. That's why I moved back. I was like, man, I need some heat in my life because New York City was so cold during the winter.
Yeah, I was tired of that cold, man. I was tired of shoveling snow.
I could not handle that stuff, man. I mean, the blizzard that hit us when we were there supposedly was like a mild blizzard, but I was like, man, this is terrible. So, yeah, that was enough to make me move back.
Yeah. Well, dude, thanks again, man. Enjoy your day.
Of course. Yeah, you too. Take care.
All right, man.
You can learn more about Scott Biersack at You Bring Fire on Instagram. You can also keep in touch with me at dpcreates.com. Blessings.